Because God wanted to do something. He wanted to take care of Pharaoh. He wanted to take care of Pharaoh. So he took care of Pharaoh by changing Pharaoh's mind and actually causing Pharaoh to go into them after them. Pharaoh had not determined to follow them. I don't know if you saw this in the story, but Pharaoh was not going to chase after them into the Red Sea because he would, you know, that's like kind of dumb, you know. So, like, they walked through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh was just going to stand there and just let him go. But something changed in Pharaoh to cause him, and God did it because he wanted to take care of the enemies behind him. So I'm going to show you this here, and I want you to look at chapter 14, verse 8. It says, "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly." And it says in the English Standard Version, defiantly. I wanted to share this with you, that being saved and being born again and being a new creation in Christ, there is a boldness and almost a defiance and attitude that we have that you're just like, "I'm sorry, I am going to do this thing for God, and I'm going on this journey, and I'm not going to let anybody stop me." There's a salvation that is very, very bold and defiant. And it's not like to go along to get along. You know that expression? You go along to get along, and people will try to intimidate you into being a part of their group. They'll try to beat you down. They'll try to make you behave. They'll try to make you just like them. It's just amazing to me that if you, like, for example, if you walk into a bar, right, and you want to sit down, and you have a Coke or something like that, or maybe you have just one, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to get into controversy. But, like, people, they don't want you just to have one beer. They want to just totally destroy you. You know what I mean? They don't want you just to just have a good time. They just want you to just, like, wreck you. And that's just, it just, there's, and so you kind of have to have an attitude towards people for God, because when you're saved, it's not like I'm gonna go that way. And, you know, you're trying to put a lot of pressure on me right now, and I'm sorry, I'm just not gonna do this. And I remember this when I first got saved. I remember because I'd gotten saved and I went to college, and like for me, college, the first time I went to college, I was never, I mean, Mom, bless her heart, Mom did not drink anything but a little sweet wine at the house. So my mom and dad, you know, Mom had her little Mogan David Manischewitz wine, a little sweet wine she had, and that we didn't really have a lot of, you know, booze or anything like that. Well, when I went to school after that, it's like that's all I saw. Everywhere I went in the dorm, like, there was everybody around me with hard liquor just drinking and getting blasted. And I'm like, wow, this is a new experience for me. I mean, I was just looking at that. Did you have this? When we went to the same school, I mean, I was like, wow, this is really different. And so this was all kind of, and for some reason, it wasn't like people wanted to leave me alone. Like, they would, like, it wasn't like you can go hang out with them and while they drink and you can just, like, be yourself. No, no, no. They don't want to leave you alone. They're like, no, we are going to get you so that you can't even walk. I mean, that's what I had to deal with when I went to school. And then I remember going with the group. We would go with the group, and we went on tour. So we went to Italy. So everybody was there in Italy. And, you know, and so then it came to the point where, like, since I was, like, no fun anymore because I wasn't, like, under the table. Like, you know what I mean? So I didn't get invited to places. So then, like, the people didn't want to hang around me because, like, I could talk without slurring my words. You know what I'm saying? I could really speak a sentence and put it together, and, like, they didn't like that. You know, they just. So when it came to like touring and stuff, people would go after practice or rehearsal and go out and get blasted, and they wouldn't invite me. So I just, like, be by myself in another country. But see, God never left me. He never left me. So I'm in this place, and I'm wandering around, and I'm looking by, and I see a church there, and it's a Catholic church. I'll be honest with you. It's a Catholic church. I got no problems with Catholics. And I see this in Italian, and I don't read Italian. It said, Fellowship Agrupa. I said, I wonder, this sounds like something interesting. And for some reason, I just decided to walk in the door. So you got to know me, right? I mean, I don't, like someone said to me, you don't even know what a stranger is. You just talk to somebody like you've known them all your life. So I just like walk in this group of people they speak another language. I'm in another country. I just want to say, hey, everybody. And they look at me like shocked, like, who is this guy? Oh, you an American, you know. So I walk in there and I just start saying hi, and you know, they're playing their guitars and whatever and singing in Italian. And like, I don't know what's going on. So I walk in there, like, they see me, they're shocked. And they're like, fortunately, there's like two of the young people there who know English, thank God, you know, because so this girl's name Anna, and so she starts talking to me in English, and then she goes like, well, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm here with the festival, and I just want to have some Christians to hang out with. And they were like so blown away. They were like, what? Like, you, like most people that come here could care less about the people that live here. So automatically God gave me favor with them because I wanted to hang out with people that, you know what I'm saying, with just everyday people. Because usually when tourists come, they could care less about anybody who lived there, right? They're just like, want to have their good time. And, you know, so I was like, no, I want to hang out with you guys. And so we were all singing and doing stuff. So you know what happened? Sorry, because this blew me away. I couldn't walk down the street without somebody finding me and pulling me into a bar and say, have a drink. I'm going to buy you. I never drank whiskey. I'm going to buy you a whiskey. I'm not going to say no, okay? Because they just started pouring all this love on me. They started inviting me over to their homes for dinner. You got to come here. You got to come here. You got to. And they wouldn't leave me alone because all I did was just show a little love. And then next thing you know, I had friends in a foreign country when my own people in my choir wouldn't give me any mind because I wouldn't party with them. I had a family. Do you see? Yes, Mom. Yeah, I know. She's embarrassed. Yeah, yeah. I know. She likes the sweet stuff. Praise God. You know what? This, just so you know, those of you that are really into culinary stuff, you know, this part of Italy, this is where they dig truffles, okay? Now, if you know this, I think Marianne told me this, like truffles are like super expensive gourmet stuff. And they use pigs and dogs to root around in caves to find them there because they're kind of like, yeah, it's like, yeah, like you may sell like a half a pound of truffles for like $200 or $300, okay? Yeah, yeah. It's some kind of, well, yeah, mushroom. It's nicer to say like kind of mushroom than it's a fungus. I'm eating a fungus right now. That really makes me want to eat it. So they yanked me into this guy's house. You're coming for dinner. It wasn't like I didn't have a choice. So I get in there and they serve me pasta and they said, would you like to try these truffles? And I said, well, I've never had truffles, but I knew they were supposed to be cool. So I tried them. And once they found out I liked truffles, every dinner I went to for the rest of those 3 weeks, they had truffles on everything. Yeah, I went in one house that they had Louis Armstrong there. He was because it's a music festival, and you know, big names would stay in homes because they didn't have hotels there. So I got to eat in a place where Louis Armstrong, you know, Satchmo, praise God. Yeah. So, but they were, all I remember is eating truffles on lasagna, truffles on bread, truffle. I mean, it was just like, just because I said, I like this. This is good. I'm just being, you know, being courteous. And I had my first shot of whiskey in Italy just because the guy drank me into a bar and said, you need to have this. Come on, let's drink. You know, I was like, all right. You know, it's like strong stuff. And I just wasn't used to doing it, you know, so it's just funny. But you see how God is always with us, and that when you march out of Egypt, there's a sort of a defiance to you that says, I'm sorry, I'm going through, and I'm not going to let anybody stop me. And, you know, sometimes we think of salvation and redemption as sort of something that we just, that somehow God just like buys us at the store. Well, I love you, so I'm just going to purchase you at the store. But that word redemption really means I'm going to obtain you because of the battle that I'm going to win. It's that kind of thing. Just like, you know how Abraham, Lot, his nephew Lot, got taken in battle, right? Abraham redeemed Lot by defeating his captor and beating him so that he could take Lot back. That is the redemption that we have. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't pull out his wallet and just purchase us. No, he went to battle and he beat the snot out of the devil and to take us back because we were held captive. That's what redemption is. I'm, you know, we think of redemption like a coupon. You know, take that coupon in and get your free thing or that. That's not what this is about. And Exodus, we need to understand what salvation is in the terms of Exodus so that when we understand that we're saved because Jesus Christ won a victory and he beat every single enemy against us and he lured Pharaoh out. Pharaoh wasn't even planning to come out and chase after them. But he taunted him to got him to come out so that he can beat him once and for all because Pharaoh no longer chased them. I'm going to share one more thing with you and then we're going to leave today in victory. Okay? All right, now. Okay, here's what it says. He told the Israelites, I'm just going to find this scripture here. Help me find it, Lord. Yeah, here we go. Look at verse 19. Verse 15. Okay, so look at verse 15, please, of Exodus 14. Now remember that up till this time, God had always been in front of them and leading them through the journey. But I want to show you something here in verse 15 that is really, really important. Here's what God did to them, all right? God said, okay, I'm going to lead you somewhere, and Ronnie's Pharaoh's army, okay? So Ronnie, get up, and this is Pharaoh's army chasing me, and I'm walking here, and you're leading me in the wilderness, and we know that the door is right there. But God says, no, I am not going to lead you to the door. So I'm going to lead you right over here, and Pharaoh's chasing me. Now, you realize that as far as they were concerned, doesn't it mean, like, doesn't it look like this is a wall of water? They've got nowhere to go. So God purposely leads them to a wall where all they have is God in front of them and the devil behind them. And they got a wall. It's called a wall of water. So what does God do? You can stay right there for a second. Tim, can you help me out? God's standing in front of them. Just stand up right in front of me. Now, that's the Red Sea. Yeah, you're just waiting for me. you've led me here, and I'm like crying out for, I'm scared, right? Because I feel like God's led me to a place where I'm stuck. I got the devil behind me and nowhere to go in front of me. So God tells me, what are you praying and crying out for me? Why are you mad at me? Why are you upset with me? He says, I want you to move forward. So God tells us to move forward. When there's nothing to move forward into except water. Yeah, well, yeah, he told Moses to do that, but he told the children of Israel, move forward. Move forward and step into the water. Didn't John the Baptist tell Jesus to do that? Didn't he? He said, Jesus, you want to be baptized? Step in the water. So Jesus stepped in the water, and it says that the heavens were opened. God told Moses and the children of Israel to step into the water, but the waters were opened. So they stepped into a situation that looked like it wasn't going to do them any good. But then once they started moving forward, then God shifted his position. And now God was between him. You went too far, buddy. Between him and Pharaoh. Stop. Now. So like. Hold your fist out because you're going to take him out. Do you see what God does here in the wall of water? He tells the children of Israel, don't be crying at me for your problems. Step into the water. And then when they move forward and step into the waters of salvation, the waters of baptism, what happens? God gets behind him. He says, get out of my way. You start moving forward because I'm going to take care of what has been after you and bringing you down and keeping you in slavery. Take him out, boy. Thank you very much, guys. That's it. That's what it says right here. It says, what are you fussing at me about? Move on. Move forward. Stop crying and fussing and complaining and worrying about your life. Move. Just like Birgit said, get out. Stop it, prodigal. Get back to the Father's house. Step into those Red Sea waters and watch me part them, just like Jesus stepped into the waters of baptism. And instead of the waters parting, heaven opened up for him. And when you step into the waters of baptism, God opens up heaven for you. And then he positions himself behind you now to take out every enemy that has been enslaving you, that has the chance to take you back to where you were. That's what it says. Verse 10, 19. Then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. And now he was guarding them. And that's the kind of life that God wants us to live. He wants us to learn how to obey the voice of the Lord and how to step into seemingly impossible situations. Seeming situations that don't make sense to you sometimes. Situations that look like there's a wall in front of you instead of a door. But if you're faithful to obey the voice of the Lord, he's going to come behind you and take care of whatever has been bringing you down. We had a guy right now that we're praying for. We've been praying for Lewis. He'd been diagnosed with cancer. And basically the hospital people gave up on him. They said, you just go on home. So we like praying for people like that. So we've been going over to his house and praying with him, and he could barely get out of bed, right? Well, when we went to Wet n Wild the other day, he came with us. He had enough strength, and he was feeling better. He's been feeling better since that time. Now, he's still got medical appointments that he's going to be making. And that's okay. I'm not going to tell him not to go to the doctor. That's important. You understand that? because God is able to take care of him. But he was able to come with us to the water park for the whole day when before all he could do was lay in that bed. Skin and bones, man. Wasn't eating. Pain all over his body. And the medical doctors were just saying, no, just give up. Yeah. So I just want you to know, right? Am I right, Nathaniel? You got to hang out with him. It is. So I just want to encourage you. Number one, if you need to step into those waters of baptism like the children of Israel did, God's going to part those waters and open up heaven for you and take care of every bit of slavery that used to bind you. You know, what does Pharaoh represent? Slavery to what? Sin. Romans says that we're slaves to sin. But what does God do? He says, when we step into salvation, when we step into those waters, God's going to give us some solid ground to stand on. And that will enable him to get behind us. If we're willing to step forward, God will step behind us to take care of all of our enemies. But we need to step forward into salvation, into this Red Sea, into those situations, whether you're just starting out the Christian journey or whether you've been going on for a long time, there's always a choice. Are you going to move forward? Or are you going to stand around and whine? Amen? God, we got to have another amen to that. Now I'm going to show you one more thing. Don't want to keep you too much longer, but can I give you one more thing? Just one more thing? All right, Matthew chapter 7. I don't want to keep you too long. Matthew chapter 7. I hope you never see this. I hope you see this scripture now. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. The rock is doing the words of Jesus. God is in the business of giving you solid ground for your life if you do what God says. He is in the business of creating solid ground out of chaos called the sea. Amen. Can we stand and pray right now? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Y'all have been too good for me. I feel like you need to be a little more rowdy. Praise God. But let's pray right now. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. And Father, we're just going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today that you are making a way where it seems like we're up against the wall, up against the sea. There's nowhere to go. But Lord, you're calling us to step into the waters, and that when we step into the waters, you're going to open up heaven for us. So Lord, I'm speaking to anyone here that if they've never gone through the waters of baptism, never said, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to get out of Egypt with an attitude and not be controlled by the crowd. Lord, I'm going to step into those waters, and I know that you're going to get behind me, and you're going to take out what makes me a slave. So, Lord, I thank you for that. And right now, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to just touch hearts of us, Lord, all of us here today. Lord, if that's the thing we want to do, Lord, I just pray that we would tell somebody, yeah, I want to get baptized. I want to move forward in God. I'm tired of standing around and howling and complaining to God. But he's telling me to move forward because he wants to take out what's kept me in slavery. And Lord, also, if we're, Lord, say we've been walking with you for many years, and yet still there's some challenges that are ahead of us, Lord. I just pray that you would get us unstuck from the things that seem to continually keep us back from stepping into our promised land. Holy Spirit, would you take us forward? Would you move our hearts to step into that situation in obedience, knowing that you're going to make a way where it seems like there's no way? Lord, I just pray that. We pray that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for breakthrough. We pray for breakthrough in areas of our finances. We pray for breakthrough in areas of our health. We pray for breakthrough in areas of our physical and our spiritual condition. We pray for breakthroughs in our families. We pray that certain people that have been standing around in our families that we're praying for will be motivated to step into the promises of God, and that God will meet them in a way that they'll know it's Him. So, Father, we just thank you for these situations. We thank you that we would always see that, God, you're the God who causes us to walk on solid ground, which is your word. Thank you for your words. We thank you that there's no chance of our houses going down. There's no chance. It's not going to happen because we have been built on the words of Jesus Christ. So thank you for it, Lord, and we praise you and we bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.